I know time has slipped by rather quickly this morning, and I don't want to abuse the situation, but I would be remiss if I did not express my sincere gratitude to this congregation and their pastor and his dear wife. It has just been delightful. And I thank you. I thank you. You know, it's been a moving morning. Moving morning. Been several tears shed. I saw my own. And I'm so glad. I'll take away that stony heart. And I'll give you a heart that can be touched. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? And oh, how I rejoiced in that message of our great high priest. Great high priest. God didn't remember our sins anymore because of that sacrifice. He's that scapegoat that took them away to a land not inhabited. They're gone. Gone. Well, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Brother Bruce asked me what my text was, where I was going to take my text this morning, and I said Ephesians 1. We preachers often do that at these meetings to make sure that we don't land on the same text. And he looked at me and smiled, and I said, but I'm not going to take the usual text from Ephesians 1. I'm going to try to bring a message from the second part of it. I said, it's like the third verse of a song in a Baptist hymnal. It's seldom sung. But oh, how glorious it is. How glorious it is. You know, we preach the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we preach. And we preach it first of all for the glory of God, for the exaltation of His dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our first and primary and foremost goal, is to glorify God and to exalt His dear Son. And we preach the grace of the gospel of His grace. You know, it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's that sweet refrain ascribed to each person of the divine Trinity in all of their covenant engagements. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And then secondly, we preach the gospel of God's grace for the good of men's souls. We preach this gospel of God's grace that lost sinners may hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may believe on Him and be saved. What our Lord commanded and commissioned us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be damned. All we want men to hear of Him and believe on Him. And we preach this gospel of God's grace that saved sinners might be comforted and exhorted and instructed and grow to maturity. Our Lord said when He ascended back on high, He ascended back on high and He gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Why did He do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the perfecting of the church, that you may grow up into Him, that you may be mature and no more children. So we preach for the glory of God and the exaltation of Christ. We preach that lost sinners might be saved, and we preach that saved sinners might grow in grace. Or do we have three gospels? Oh, no. No, we don't have three gospels. We don't have three messages, do we? We've got one gospel, one message, one glorious gospel of the blessed God. It's the gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's the same gospel. Oh, it's the same gospel that glorifies God in His Son. It's the same gospel by which men are saved, and the same gospel by which they are kept saved and grow to maturity. And that's what Paul's talking about here in this text. Now, let's read a couple of verses of verse 15. That's where we usually leave off in this chapter. But Paul says here, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." You know, Paul had preached to these folks in Ephesus, I guess, longer than anybody else. He was there for 3 years. He visited them often in his travels. But now the apostle's in prison in Rome. And he had received word from these folks. And he's writing back to them. He's writing back to them after hearing about them. And he'd heard a good report of them. A good report. And he says, after I heard two things. I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. He mentions two vital graces. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. And beloved, listen, these two graces always go together. Where you find one, you'll find the other. And furthermore, you'll find them in the same people. In the same people. There is no salvation except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where saving faith is present, it is accompanied and evidenced by love. Amen. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ and love to all His people. John said this. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Just so. And Paul said, I heard of that. I heard of your faith in Christ. And I heard of your love to all the saints. And I ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It led Paul to thank God for them. To thank God for them. Faith and love. Why would he do that? Why would he thank God? I thank God for your faith. I thank God for your faith and love, as well as my own. But why thank God? Because faith and love are not the product of nature, they're the gift of grace. That's why we thank God. Amen. You have faith in Christ, I have faith in Christ. Well, thank God. If you've got it, He gave it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. We thank God, and it led Paul to pray for these people, to pray for them. Where we find God's people, if we have faith in Christ, love to this, can you love someone not pray for them? No, God's people can't do that. Can't do it. And it's Paul's prayer for these people in these following verses that I want us to look at this morning. I want us to consider very briefly the subject of prayer for grace. A prayer for grace. You know, as I looked at this prayer, and if you look at it, if we didn't know that Paul was praying for saved folks, we'd probably conclude that he was praying for unsaved folks just by reading the prayer. But he is praying for believers. You know, he started out this epistle to the saints at Ephesus. To the saints. So we know he's praying for God's people, for the saved, for those that have faith. But as we look at this prayer, we also find that in this prayer, it's the same grace which saves a sinner, is the same grace that keeps him saved, and it's the same grace by which he grows in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, it's one gospel for sinners. One gospel for sinners. Now, verse 17. I don't cease to give thanks for you. I make mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. First thing I want us to notice here is the source of grace. Who's he pray to? He prays to God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of Christ, as our Lord Jesus Christ is man and mediator, as Brother Bruce so clearly pointed out. The God of Christ as man and in his office as mediator, he's the God of Christ in his covenant engagement. Our Lord Jesus Christ became what he was not. He became a servant. He became a man subject to the Father. A real man, just like us, sin accepted. He's the God. God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Christ is God. As he is the second person of the divine Trinity. As he is that word that was in the beginning with God, and that word that was God, and that word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Father of Christ as this great mystery of godliness, God, was manifest in the flesh. He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ as he became the servant on his covenant engagement. He's the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was obedient. He was obedient as a servant, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, that's the one I'm praying to, for you. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of glory. He's the glorious Father. He has the glory of the only true God. The glorious Father. How is he glorious? Well, he's glorious in his person. He's glorious in his nature. He's glorious in his attributes. His glory as the Father of Christ, by and through whom his grace is glorified in the salvation of sinners. That's his chief glory. He's the glorious Father. Old Moses stood there one day and said, Lord, I've seen a lot of things, but I got one more thing I want to see. Would you show me your glory? And God told him, he said, I cause all my goodness to pass before you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord unto you. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Where do we find the goodness and the grace of God? Only in Christ. If you ever see God's glory, the glory of his goodness, and the glory of his grace, you're going to have to see it in his Son. A fellow came to our Lord one day and said, "Good master," he said, "wait a minute now, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Why are you calling me good? There's none good but God." What's he saying? If you don't believe I'm God, don't call me good. Huh? Don't you talk about him as a reformer and a martyr and a frustrated, defeated something or other. No, sir. He's our Lord and he's our God. And the Father is the Father, glorious Father. His goodness and his mercy and his grace is only to be found in his own dear Son. Oh, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, would give unto you. Oh, I do pray that he'd give it to you. Do you know that all spiritual blessings are the gift of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's another way he started this epistle. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In Christ. Why? According as he chose us in him. When did he do that? Before the foundation of the world. Huh? Yeah. I pray that he'd give unto you. Give, all give. Now that I can afford. If God gives it to me, I can afford it. If he charges anything for it, I can't. If he requires me to do anything to earn it, I'm left out, Brother Noah, because I don't have any merit. I don't have anything to pay. Nothing to pay. We're going to be saved the same way we were lost.
That's right. Amen.
By the actions of another. Exact same way. By one man's offense, the many. Were made sinners. By one man's obedience, the many shall be made righteous. And it's a gift of grace. The gift of grace. It's free grace. Sovereign grace. It ain't no other kind. Being justified freely. What? By his grace. Where? Through the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God. God is the God of all grace. He's the God of all. He's the Father of mercies. He's the God of comfort. I pray that our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now listen, these people for whom Paul is praying, they knew the Lord. That's obvious. There's no question about that. But Paul prayed for an increase of that knowledge. True knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel is not by natural wisdom and understanding. It is by revelation of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God in Christ would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Otherwise, you'll never come to an understanding of this. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's not talking about heaven.
That's right.
He's talking about redemption and justification and reconciliation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know of God hath revealed them unto us?
Amen.
By his Spirit. And all I pray that this God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because it's necessary both for salvation by grace and for growth in grace. Well, I've got the revelation. I'm fixed up. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Just like you said, Brother Bruce, you got to keep reminding me for I'll forget. Got to keep teaching me. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the gift of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. our Lord very clearly taught when he walked this earth in the flesh, that he would take the things of mine, he said, and show them unto you. And he'll bring all things to remembrance. He's our remembrancer. And I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I realize my need of a remembrancer that won't forget, can't forget, because I'm forgetting. I left home without a tie. Had brother borrow one from your pastor. Can you believe that? It's all. Don't go there. Did he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge or for the acknowledgement of him? The spirit of revelation, not that you might be a theologian, but that you may know Christ and acknowledge Christ. Acknowledge him as a gift of God's grace by the power of his spirit. You see, knowledge of Christ is salvation. It is salvation. Didn't our Lord pray that? He prayed that way, didn't he? Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. No man hath seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, he hath declared. He's told him now. Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Have seen the Father. And it's all gift. It's all by grace. It's all given to us of God. God gives us what we deserve. He'll give us death. He'll pay our wages. But all the gift of God is eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through the work of his Spirit. It's not something man can do. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he said on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Yeah, I pray for him. And here's something else. Look at this. Here's the effect of grace in enlightened understanding. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The understanding of our heart and our soul has got to be opened. It's Christ revealed to the heart, to the heart. It's like Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he shined in our hearts? Oh my, if you know him, if you see him, you love him, believe him, then that's because God shined in your heart. It's a revelation of Christ by the Word. By the Word of God, by the Gospel of God, the Spirit of God. It's by this that we come to understand the depth of our sin, the efficacy of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the necessity of his righteousness for justification, and the sufficiency and the freeness of his grace, and the glory of his salvation. Enlightened understanding. Boy, I wonder. I've got some of it. I want more of it. I want more of it. And Paul says, I pray that when you get it, you're going to understand these three whats. Do you understand these three what's? You're going to know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? You know, election is only known one way. Calling. 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 You see your calling. That's how you know your election. Not many of these know, but God hath chosen such as us. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that astounding? What is the hope of his calling? It's the hope of eternal life. What Paul told Titus, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yeah. He didn't promise it to me. I wasn't there. Yes, I was there in Christ. And that's who he promised it to, wasn't it? Before this world began. The hope of his calling. Our hope is to be like Christ. John said we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. He's able to raise our vile bodies and fashion them just like his glorious body. He's able to do that. He's got the power. The hope of his calling is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ is our hope. I want to know what the hope of that calling is. If you know him, you know it all. I'm a know-it-all. Just go ahead and say it. You're a know-it-all, aren't you? Yes, sir. I know him who is all. What is the riches? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with him. We've got an inheritance reserved in heaven for us. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's reserved. But really, that's not what this is talking about. That's not even what it says. That we may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's a whole different subject, isn't it? That's a horse of a different color from that red one. Did you know that the Lord's people, his elect, chosen people, is his portion? That's the riches of his inheritance in the saints. How in the world can such vile sinners as we are be the riches of his glory? His glorious riches. I tell you why. They're valuable to him because the Father chose them. They're valuable to him because he bought them at an indescribable price. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. We're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as of a lamb without blemish and without fault, who truly was foreordained for us before the foundation of this world. He's manifested to us now. I'm telling you, what greater price could he have paid? Why are we valuable to him? He paid such a high price for us. You reckon he'll have what he bought? I reckon. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? I want you to know that. I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Faith, my dear friends. And listen to me. Faith is a mighty work of power and grace. It's by grace are you saved. And it's through faith. But it ain't something you can come up with. It's the gift of God. The very faith by which we believe. We can't glory in it as our own. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a mighty work of power and grace. We're saved by divine power. We're kept by divine power. You see this here? Look here. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? His power to usward who believe, and it's according to the working of his mighty power. You've got power on both sides of faith. Power to give it and power to keep it. And not our power, but his power. His power. We're saved by divine power. We're kept by divine power. Power, power, power. His power. The power of our God, by which we are given spiritual life and faith, is compared to the power by which our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He said, verse 20, which he wrought, this mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. God raised his son from the dead, not by the will of man, not by the will of men, but his own will and his own power. God did that. And our salvation is a resurrection from spiritual death to spiritual life. He says in the first chapter of the next verse, and you hath he quickened who were dead.
Amen.
And in the city of Nain one day there was carrying a widow's son, the only son of a widow, had him in the coffin, taking him to the grave. And our Lord stopped him and he laid his hand on that casket and he said, young man, arise. And you know what he did? He rose. He sat up. And he delivered him to his mother. And then one day he came before this grave. Lazarus is dead 4 days.
4 days.
Lord, don't have that stone rolled away. He's stinking by now. Roll her away. Roll her away. Now, Lazarus, if you'll just exercise your will, you can come out of there. Lazarus, if you'll get rid of those grave clothes and clean yourself up and reform a little bit, you can come out of there. Lazarus, if you'll be baptized and join the church and observe the ordinances, you can come out of there. Isn't that foolish? Now, why do we expect that kind of thing out of dead sinners? It's just as silly, isn't it? It's just as silly. Our Lord said, the hour cometh now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And therefore he said, Lazarus, come out of there. And you know what he did? He came out of there. And when the voice of the Son of God comes upon a dead sinner and says, I say unto thee, live! You know what that sinner does? He lives. And I want you to know this working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Did you know that when Christ came out of the grave, you know this, that he sat down. He sat down. When he by himself purged our sins, he sat down. But did you know that his people are seated with him? Right across the page it says that. Verse 6, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You reckon man can accomplish that? No, sir, that takes the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God. Oh, I'm glad our high priest has compassion on the ignorant. On the ignorant. Look what these next three verses tells us something about where he is now. And Paul's praying that these folks would know this, they'd have a greater understanding of it. We could get an understanding, better understanding of where Christ is, what he's doing. We'll have far more confidence and comfort and assurance. God set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. And he's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. He's not just above them, folks. He's far above them. Far above them. not only in this world, but in the one that's to come. And God's put everything under his feet. And God gave him to be the head over all things, more especially the church. He's the head, we're the body. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What is it to experience the fullness of Christ, to be in Christ and Christ in us? You know, I told the folks back home this. There's a fellow went down to the ocean. He took a bottle with him. He got down there to the shore, and he dipped that bottle down into the water, and he filled her completely full. Just wouldn't hold another drop. Red Sea water. And then he kept it. Kept it. And he drew back, and he threw that bottle into the ocean. And he said, there's the sea in the bottle, and the bottle in the sea. And just like I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, when he filled that bottle with the ocean, he didn't diminish it one bit. He's the fullness of all that filleth all in all. Oh, my soul, listen, we've got one message, one gospel. We've got one Lord, one Savior of sinners. He's glorious in grace, glorious in power. And this is a prayer. This is a prayer for grace for God's people. But I told you, you know, this, it's just one gospel, one gospel. And we've heard this gospel clearly proclaimed now for 3 days. God has given great grace in having Christ proclaimed. But I want us to take one real quick look at this prayer, except I want us to look at it in a little different light. I'll close with this, but I want every sinner here. Do you hear what I said? Every what? Sinner. Saved or unsaved? Saved or unsaved, because this prayer is fit for all of us. I want us to read a few of these verses here, except I want us to provide the personal pronoun, me, my, I. Will you read it with me? And I'll help you with the pronouns. Verse 17, I pray. Oh, Lord God, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation for the acknowledgement of him, that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Can you say that as your own? I hope you can. I hope you can. I believe. And I want the Lord to help my unbelief. And I want him to strengthen my faith. My faith. And I add to that prayer that God would grant this prayer of every true heart according to his purpose of grace and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you. Brother Pastor.